So glad that you are here with us. And I've kind of been in and out a little bit the last few weeks here because we had our second child. Emery May was born on June 5th. And yeah, thank you. Keep the claps coming. She was here with my wife Sam this morning, so they're both doing good. It was kind of a crazy first week or so. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I am back, and we are here in our series called Truth Wins, and I just love that. Truth wins. Every time, truth wins. And over the last couple of weeks in particular, last week, Pastor Nathan was talking to us about how the enemy tries to use distortion to morph God's truth and change it into something that it's not, to get us confused and tripped up, but how when we really go to the truth of God's word and start claiming that over our life, how that can be so powerful. And the week before that, Pastor Sheldon was walking us through how the enemy tries to use doubt and get us all concerned with this can't be true and questioning and all these things. But when we really turn that to trust, how the Lord can really move in our lives. And so in this book that we're kind of based this series off of, it's called The Garden. I think they had a copy of it out at the Info Center just so you could see what it looked like at least. But in the book, there's these five D's that the enemy uses to try and trip us up. So the first one was doubt. Last week was distortion. And today's word is discouragement. The enemy tries to use discouragement to trip us up and draw us away from our relationship with the Lord. And so if we think about that discouragement idea within the context of what we've been talking about in the Garden of Eden, the story of Adam and Eve, the serpent came and he's planted the seeds of doubt, and Adam and Eve listened to that doubt and they let it take root in their heart, and then they let him distort the truth. If you read that specifically, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, the truth was distorted, they fell into disobedience, and immediately after that, right after they ate the fruit, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, at that moment, their eyes were open because they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So doubt turned to distortion, went to this discouragement of, we just disobeyed. I can't imagine what Adam and Eve felt, because they knew what was right and they chose to do what was wrong. And just the weight of that shame and that discouragement just sat on them. And they tried to isolate, they tried to hide, they tried to cover themselves from God. I don't know about you, but I can think of several times in my life where I've been discouraged. Has anybody ever been discouraged before? All right, every hand should be waving, because we've all felt that. We've all been there. It's just a natural part of life. And I can think about one time in particular where I was just really down and really out. My wife and I graduated from Malone University in 2010, and that whole summer I graduated with a degree in youth and educational ministry and a minor in writing, and I had to like take a Shakespeare on that stuff. Like, I have a testimony. I'll have to share more about that later. Don't ever take Shakespeare if you don't have to. That's all I'm saying. Because I've never used it once. Sorry. Yeah, I just did. I just did. Good call, Pastor Joel. It's redeemed. But I graduated, and I had a summer job here in town. And that whole summer, I spent looking for a job in ministry. And I was so excited. I was like, I followed God's will for my life. I said yes to being in ministry. And now I'm going to get hired. And I'm going to make tons of money. And sorry, that was another joke. But I couldn't find a job in ministry anywhere. And I had interviews, and it just wasn't working out. And I was like, God, what is going on? Why is this not working? And so in October of that year, my wife and I got married on October 16th of 2010. And we were living up in the Warren Youngstown area, a place called Niles. And I was sitting at home for the first 3 weeks of us being married. I had no job. I was not providing for my wife. I felt like a bum. And I was just stuck in this weight of discouragement. Like, I am not doing good here. Like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing as a husband. But I was just stuck in that discouragement. And maybe you can think about a time or two in your life where you felt just that weight and that discouragement and just that cycle of like, ugh, I am just stuck in this place. Thankfully, through a connection at the church we were at, I was able to get a job at a metal fab shop. And I've told a little bit of that story before, which led to so many other things that the Lord was doing in my life and has brought us to where we are now. Again, that's another time because there's so much there. But this is what I found to be true. And This is my big idea for today as we think about discouragement. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down, is that discouragement is powerful, but God is more. Discouragement is powerful. We've all felt it. But our God, He is always more. So before we talk about all of that, God is more, I want to hit a little bit more on just this reality of discouragement in our lives. And so this is my first point, is that discouragement happens. It is inevitable. Discouragement happens in our lives. There's situations, there's circumstances, there's things that don't go right, there's things that we mess up, there's things that happen to us that we have no control over, there's things that happen in our world, in our work, in our home. Discouragement happens. And for me, sometimes I still end up acting surprised when discouragement happened. Like, well, why is this happening to me? And what is going on? Like, we have this tendency, even though we know that life is not always sunshine and butterflies and all of those things, we can still tend to act surprised when things are not going our way. And me and Sam walked through another interesting season when we moved back home here to Worcester. It was like January 2016, I started on staff. That whole first year, we were living in my parents' upstairs, and we had two dogs. And going into 2017, we were still living in my parents' upstairs because we had a house in Warren that was just refusing to sell. And now I'm like, man, I wish we would have held it because the market's so different. That's a whole other thing, too. But, like, we could have made some bank. Come on, Jesus. But, like, we were just felt like stuck in this place of like our house won't sell and we're stuck in my parents' attic and we have two dogs and like living with your parents when you're 30 is awful, like especially when you're married. And so like in that season in 2017, we went through this like 2 month span where I found out that while I was driving my Jeep Patriot and then transmission just decided to explode and totally blew out. And we owed too much on it to get something different, so I had to pay $3,500 to get a new transmission. And then that same week, like the next week, I found out that my taxes had been filed improperly for the last 2 years from my connections in Warren, and I owed the government $3,500. Since we all love paying the IRS as it is, that was a really nice surprise. And then just like 2 weeks after that, our house, maybe a month after that, our house did finally sell, but we ended up losing $6,000 in the end of the whole deal. And so, like, all of a sudden, we just had this, like, $10,000 or $11,000 of money going out that we didn't even have. And, like, we were living in my parents' attic, and I shared last time we were still struggling through a season of infertility. And it was just like, God, what is going on? Like, you called us home. You called us here. And just that discouragement and that weight and that feeling of hopelessness. Like, discouragement happens in our lives. Discouragement is real, and it happens. Now, there's a lot more to that story, but God is good, and I know that. But we can see this discouragement happening over and over again. We can read examples of it in the Bible as well. And one in particular I just wanted to highlight today is the story of Nehemiah. I don't know if you've ever read that in the Old Testament, but Nehemiah was serving under a king in a Persian city, but he was part of the nation of Israel. He was a Jewish person, and the nation of Israel had gone through this season of 70 years of exile in Babylon, and the city of Jerusalem had been totally wreaked havoc upon, and the walls were torn down, and everything was broken. And Nehemiah was getting this report back in the first chapter of Nehemiah, verses 1 through 4. It says this. He's just introducing that these are the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was still in the citadel of Susa. So he wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in another place. Hanani and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Now, if that's not discouragement, I don't know what is. This city, this glorious city of Jerusalem, this was like the place for the nation of Israel. The walls have been torn down. And I think it's hard for us to like get the scope of how big that really was and what that really meant. Because if you read into Nehemiah chapter 2 and 3, like they're talking about they fixed this gate and this group fixed this part of the wall. Like it was massive, like that the walls were torn down. Like this was a big deal. And this weight was on Nehemiah. And he was discouraged, and he was mourning, and he was weeping. So we see examples, not just Nehemiah, but there's other examples throughout the Bible of discouragement. Thinking about the disciples, about how discouraged they were when Jesus, the Messiah, had gone and died on the cross. All of the disciples were scattering. They were so discouraged and confused, like, what had just happened? Discouragement happens. Another thing that I've learned and that I think happens with discouragement is that the enemy can use us against ourselves to perpetuate this cycle of discouragement in our lives. I am the chief of sinners in this area of just self-deprecation and putting myself down and perpetuating the lies of the enemy and just convincing myself that I'm not good enough and I don't look like this and I don't talk like that and I don't have this job or I don't do this or I messed that up or I shouldn't have said that. And I get in this cycle of thinking and even verbalizing things outside where I'm just turning it around and just spewing on myself. In Proverbs 18:21, the first part of that verse, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And yes, I believe that applies when we say negative things about ourselves, but I also think that even our thoughts, our thought life is really what we think about speaking. When we're speaking to ourselves, we can speak life or we can speak death. Like there is power in our thoughts. There's power in the things that we say to ourselves, that we say around other people. And I have to believe that it's not just me, that there's others that have struggled with this, and we can be guilty of this. Maybe it's every day, maybe it's like once in a while, maybe once in a week, but we just have this tendency to just self-deprecate and put ourselves down. And I've found myself sometimes that I'm so insecure about something that my best solution is just to verbalize around in a group of people and just make fun of myself around people. And because people will laugh because people don't know how to respond. Like, it's just how we are. Like, you laugh at something that's funny. But really what I'm doing is putting myself down, and I'm perpetuating this cycle of, like, I'm not good enough and I don't do this. And I continue the cycle of discouragement in my life by the things that I think, by the things that I say, and the way that I allow the enemy to morph the way that I'm thinking. So discouragement happens. That's the first point. Discouragement happens. Situations and circumstances in our life, the enemy tries to turn ourselves, our mind, our thoughts, the words we say, against ourselves. And we can see examples of this all throughout the Bible, thinking Nehemiah specifically. But I'm done talking about the bad stuff. Yes, discouragement happens. But this is also what I know to be true, is that encouragement wins. Discouragement happens, but number two point for the day is encouragement wins. Negativity and all of this discouragement is completely defeated when we fight back with encouragement. So I just want to offer a couple of ways that we can start that cycle of encouragement in our lives, some practical things that we can do. The first one is Psalm 116, verse 7 from the CEB says, I tell myself, you can be at peace again because the Lord has been good to you. Sometimes you need to get in front of the mirror and say, I tell myself, God is more. Remember that big idea? God is more. He has been good. No matter what is going on, God is good. And speaking to yourself, remember our words have power. When we verbalize, when we say those things out loud, we are speaking life over ourselves. We can defeat that discouragement that the enemy is just heaping on top of us. In the book that I've been referencing, The Garden, that talks about all of these things, it's a really short read. You should really get it. It's so good. But there's a quote from page 49 that hits on this specifically, thinking about getting out of the cycle of negative self-talk and blaming ourselves and all of that. So I just want to read this. because I think this is so key to starting this pattern of encouragement in our lives. It says this: you don't have to blame yourself anymore. You can recognize the lies, choose not to believe them, and know the positive truth. And this is where it gets real good. You are loved. You have value. You are worthy. You are a child of God. You are loved by God. There is a plan for your life. You have greatness inside of you, and in every moment, you have the capability to do great things. The best is yet to come if you choose to believe it. Wow. How could our lives be different if we broke out of the cycle of negative self-talk and we began proclaiming some of these things over our lives? If we stopped blaming ourselves and tripping ourselves up, and instead we went to saying out loud to myself, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am worthy. God has a plan for me. There is greatness inside of me. That's not just self-help. That's the truth of God's word that we're proclaiming over our lives. Pastor Craig Groeschel, he's from Life Church. Incredible. They do the Bible app and all of those things. And we watched a video of him a couple years ago on our staff summit. And he talked about how in his life he has this discipline of every year, right around New Year's, he adds a new positive affirmation to his life. Exactly like what I was just saying. I am a child of God. I am enough. I am loved. And he has these things that he says out loud to himself every single morning of every single day. And just is proclaiming God's truth over his life. And I have to be honest with you, that is not something that I have done or am doing right now. But as I was preparing for this message this week, I was like, man, I really felt God challenging me that how different could my days be if I woke up and set my perspective in the morning with some of these truths that we're talking about today. Just declaring, no matter what's going on in my world or what I'm feeling or what I'm doing that day, just changing my perspective. I just think back to what Pastor Nathan was talking about last week, that verse from Ephesians that I'm God's masterpiece and he had plans for me that he's been planting in my life from long, long ago. Like if I said that, man, I am God's masterpiece. Jesus, use me however you want to use me today. How different would my day be? How more open would my eyes be to see where the Lord is leading and what he wants to do in my life? And so that's the next thing that I just want us to think about is sometimes we need to change our perspective in order to help and allow encouragement to win in our life. Changing our perspective. In James chapter 1, it says this. This is verses 2 through 4. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." That sounds a little backwards. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete and needing nothing. When is the last time that you looked at a difficult situation in your life and you thanked God for it? Man, thank you, God. This gives me joy. Like, it's not just a normal human response. It's a choice we have to make. But the Bible is challenging us. When you go through difficult times, count it as an opportunity for joy. Changing that perspective. I share with you, our baby girl was here this morning. Sam was here. They're doing amazing now. But the first week of Emery's life was just crazy. We were all over the place. Emery was born, and she was healthy and good, but she had some jaundice for some different reasons. And so because of that, she was born on Saturday the 5th, and we came home on that Monday. And then her and Sam went back to the hospital on Tuesday of that week because Emery needed more of the light treatment and all of those things that come with jaundice. And then finally, they were able to come home Thursday in the afternoon. And then Friday morning, we woke up, and Sam, like, just walking from the nursery to the couch, like, couldn't hardly breathe, and her legs were, like, all swollen. And so I was like, okay, this is not good. And so we got her over to the emergency room, and I had the kids. And so I just had to drop her off at the emergency room. And so I just like drove away and sat in the parking lot of the hospital. And I'm sitting there. I just dropped my wife off at the ER. I have my 2-year-old Judah and my 5-day-old Emery. And I don't know that my first response in that moment was joy, right? Like, that's not where my head was. I called my parents. I tried to call my mom 3 times. She didn't answer her phone. And she knows if I call more than once, it's really important. She still didn't answer. I really said I wasn't going to razz her today, but I had to throw that one in. And so I called my dad, and he was just trying to ask me what was going on because he didn't know any of it. And I was like, Dad, I don't know. I just need you to pray. So my dad just prayed, and then he hollered at my mom to get her over to the phone. That part was pretty funny. Deb, now! It was hilarious. But as I thought about that in retrospect, how different could that moment, the moments after that, have gone for me if I would have said, and I'm not saying I was completely away from this, but just if my perspective could have been set that, okay, Lord, I hate what we're going through, but I love that I know that you are good, that you are faithful, and I know that you're going to bring all of this around for your good, and I want to count this as an opportunity to grow. I want to count this as an opportunity for joy. How different could that day, those moments afterwards, have been for me? Resetting our perspective. Encouragement builds our faith in that way. That's the other part of that verse that I really love, is that when we go through these difficult things, our endurance is strengthened. We are prepared for the next trial, the next thing that's coming our way. So changing our perspective is so key in letting encouragement win in our lives. Another thing, I just have 2 more on this thought. Another thing that I think is so key when we think about encouragement winning in our lives is we need to go to God in prayer. We need to go to him in prayer. And he is the one that really sets all of these things in place and sets them in stone in our lives and helps us change that perspective and gives us that truth. If we look back at the story of Nehemiah, he had found out that the walls were torn down. The city was in shambles. There were some people that had already gone back to the city. He was broken, he was mourning, he was crying. But if you remember in that verse, at the end it said that he fasted and he prayed. Now he was mourning, he was crying, he was sad, but his response was to go to God in prayer. Nehemiah 1 verse 11 says, this is the prayer that he prayed. You can read the extended version if you read the whole chapter. But he said, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And the man he was talking about was the king that he served under. He was going to go and ask him for favor to go to the city of Jerusalem and help rebuild the walls. And you got to read the rest of the story in Nehemiah because it's so good. But I just love that Nehemiah's response to his discouragement was to go to God in prayer. No matter what's going on, we always have access to go to the Lord in prayer and start that encouragement winning in our lives. It can change that mindset, that perspective. You know, Pastor talks about Eeyore syndrome, but we can just get in that spot of whatever's going on, it's just poor me, poor me. Everything's wrong. It's never going to be right. Like, we get in that place. But when we go to God in prayer, he can instantly change that perspective from poor me to God is more. God is more. The last thing that I thought about with encouragement winning in our lives is that, yes, we can think about our own lives. I can think about my life. I've shared a couple of things with you. You can think about your life and the things that are going on. You know, we just talked about Dan passing away. His son Ryan is my best friend. I talk to him every day. Like, that is tough stuff. There are real things that are happening in our lives, hard things. We know all about our own lives, but I believe that God wants us to learn and grow in encouraging other people around us, because we have no idea sometimes what is going on with the person sitting 2 rows in front of us right now, or the person behind us in the line at Walmart, or the person at work that just seems off, or somebody in your family, or whoever it is. Sometimes we have no idea what is going on in other people's lives, because we can just get so self-focused and so honed in on these are my problems and these are my issues and I poor me, all those things. And I'm not saying that the things we go through aren't real, but what I am saying is that when we can look at others and encourage others, I believe there's something so powerful that can happen in helping encouragement defeat discouragement. I was checked on this myself just a couple weeks ago. It was the week after Emery was born, and I went to the barber because I was like a shaggy dog with a beard and long hair to my knees, and not really, that's just what it felt like. But I was at the barber, and I was just kind of telling him, sitting in the chair, just telling him what we had been through that first week of Emery's life, and just how crazy it had been, and how we're not sleeping, and how she still has this jaundice, and Sam is taking this medicine, all these things. And just through the course of our conversation, he just somehow came up, and he was able to share with me that just 3 days earlier, at 2 a.m. in Akron, his mom had been killed in a car accident. And just in that moment, just felt this pit in my stomach of just like, man, like my week has not been great, but his week has been on a whole nother level. And I'm not saying that we should be comparing, like, my life is worse than Joel's life and Joel's life is worse than Trevor's life. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we are all going through something, and that God calls us to encourage others around us. He has called us to be a light. In the New Testament, it says that the world will know that we're his disciples by our love. When we are love, when we are light, when we are perpetuating encouragement with whoever God puts in our path, that is how encouragement wins. So I don't know who that is in your life. It might be the barber or the gal at the hair salon or somebody that you're just passing on the road, somebody, the person at the Starbucks drive-through. Your mom, your dad, a family member, whoever. But there is somebody in your life that needs encouraged today, now. And I believe that God calls us to be a part of that. Whoever it is, we are called to be encouragers. I would invite you to stand. I'm going to wrap up here in just a moment, and then we'll worship some more. But I want to hit that big idea one more time. As we think about discouragement happens, there's real things in our life. There's examples of it in the Bible. The enemy tries to turn ourselves right back against ourselves, but encouragement wins. Encouragement wins. Just remember that big idea that yes, discouragement is powerful, but God is more. He is more than able. He is always good. It's something that I've been praying for almost 2 years now, is that you are God and you are good. Every time I start praying, I can't get away from that. God, you are God and you are good. And the best section of verses that I can think of in the Bible for me to just summarize all of this is Romans 8, 35 to 39. I love this section. This is a New Living First Edition. It's not on the screen, so just listen. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or are cold or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I love that word and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be made right with our Father in heaven, that we have this opportunity for eternal life. Just like Pastor Joel asked them this morning, the new members, when we have said yes to Jesus, we have access to even more power than Jesus said. Jesus had. Jesus told us that in the New Testament. we have power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He will empower us to live this out, to be encouragers, to eliminate discouragement in our lives and allow His encouragement to shine through. So that's my challenge for all of us today, myself included. I've confessed some things to you this morning, is that I challenge you to identify the cycles of negative self-talk, the self-deprecation in your life, and turn those over to Jesus today. Turn them over. Be done with them. Ask Him to take those thoughts captive. Let your identity, the truth of who you are, lie in Him and His truth. And then I would challenge you to think, what are some new cycles of encouragement that you need to set up in your life? Do you need to put a sticker on the mirror? Do you need to do it like Pastor Craig and have some positive things, some truths from the Bible that you are speaking over your life every morning of every day? What are those things that you need to start doing? And then thirdly, who is that person or who are those people in your life that you need to encourage today? Who is God identifying? Who is the Lord prompting you to shoot a text message to or give a phone call to today to say, hey, man, I love you. I care about you. What's going on in your life? So as you think about those things, I want to pray for all of us. Then we'll spend some more time worshiping this morning, this afternoon now. Lord, thank you so much for today. I thank you that you are God and you are good. And that even though discouragement is powerful, God, you are more. And I just declare that over each one here this afternoon, God, no matter what's going on in our lives, we just pray that you would be more than all of it, that you would help us to reset our perspective, that you would teach us how to rely on you like never before, that you would allow us to start new cycles of encouraging ourselves, of claiming your truth, of speaking your truth over ourselves, God, of eliminating the lies of the enemy and saying, you know what, I am a child of God. I am enough. God does have a plan for me. I am worthy. And as we do that, Lord, I pray that you would change the way that we look at our world, that you would send us out to be an encouragement to the people that are around us, whether it's a family member or a friend or a stranger that we meet. God, I pray that we would be a light in the darkness, that we would be encouragers that perpetuate this cycle of your love and your joy and your goodness in our world. So empower us today. Give us your strength. Give us your grace. We thank you for your love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.